Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we are taking a look at the greatest team ever assembled, and that was the 12 disciples that Jesus Christ chose over 2,000 years ago. We talk about great sports teams, but you know, it's funny. I can't even remember who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago, even a couple years ago, and Tampa Bay was in between the Chiefs winning their two Super Bowls. I did not realize that it had only been 2 years ago since Tom Brady and Tampa Bay had won. But when we think about the greatest team ever assembled, I think it was the 12 disciples, Jesus' team, because 2,000 years later, we're still talking about them, and they changed the world, friends, forever. They were definitely all in. And we've been looking at some of those teammates of Jesus, and we've been looking at Bartholomew, or Nathanael, as he is called also in the book of John. And yesterday we looked at John 1, verses 43 through 48, and we were looking at about how Nathanael had prejudice towards Jesus at first, because when Philip wanted him to meet Jesus and I found the Messiah, he said he was Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael responded, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And friends, we fight those same lies too and prejudices. Just because people don't look like us, the same skin color, that they don't live in the same neighborhood, didn't go to the same school, okay? Don't vote the same as we do. Cheer for other teams, sports teams, than we do. I mean, the list goes on and on of things. If somebody does something differently than we do, we can be prejudiced towards them. And, you know, I just had to examine this really close up. Recently, I was reading a new book called They Call Me Goose. And it's based on the life of Jack Gibbons. He shared a story of his life with author Doug Brunk, and Doug's a friend of mine, and blessed me with a copy of that book. And I was reading it, and Jack Gibbons, a tremendous basketball player who grew up in Lexington area, graduated from Bryan Station High School, and then went on to have a stellar career at the University of Kentucky. In fact, led them to a national championship in 1978. He scored 41 points in the national championship game against Duke. And yet Jack was sharing in his childhood that growing up over in the Bluegrass Aspendale area, and he lived in this apartment project over there, and that there was a fence that was put up in between the project apartment area that he lived in, and then also in the one for Caucasian people that was just right across the road from them. But they put a barbed wire up over to keep people from going, basically keeping the African-Americans and Caucasians separated. And they finally took that down in 1974. And there's a picture in the book Jack Gibbons shows of them cutting down that barbed wire fence. And he just said, "I never thought I'd see that day come." And I believe that Jack was like 17, if I'm not mistaken, when that happened. And yet, you know, friends, it just grieved me because I had moved to Lexington by then. I was just a little boy, I think about eight or nine. And yet, you know, that happened right here in central Kentucky in Lexington in my lifetime. And I'm thankful that I was oblivious to that. At the same time, I'm so sad now because I am aware of it. And we still have a long way to go. I think there's been some progress made, but you know, whether it's Caucasians, African American people of Hispanic, Asian descent, you know, we just we unfortunately, Lord, can be prejudiced just because of differences we have with people. And if you're a basketball fan, I encourage you to take maybe get a copy of that book here, as we're in March Madness, and They Call Me Goose tells about his life, and he went on to have some professional success, but he also went through some major trials and tribulations. Jack grew up in the church, and his faith became real when he went through some really tough tribulations, I believe, in his 30s. So I encourage you to get a copy of that book, and we'll be hearing more about it from author Doug Brunk in the future. But one of the things that is good about Nathanael's prejudice, it wasn't strong enough to keep him from Jesus. Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see." Right after Nathanael replied, Can anything good come from Nazareth? I love how Philip responded. Just simply said, hey, come and see for yourself. And friends, that's the right way for you and I to deal with prejudice. Confront it with the facts. Nathanael's prejudiced mind proved not to be as powerful as his seeking heart. So I want to ask you today, got a question for you. Is there an area of your life, if you're honest, that you are prejudiced in? I mean, I think, friends, you know, sometimes, unless we're really confronted with that question, we're not completely honest. And if there's an area, a certain type of demographic that you do look down upon, like we talked about earlier, whether it's skin color or where somebody lives, car they drive, the way they dress, where they have piercings, I mean, just whatever that's different than us, vote differently than us, cheer for different sports teams, like a shared friends, we need to just be honest that we are a little bit prejudiced. And I'm thankful that Rick Warren, he said, racism is stupid. It's an insult to God, arrogantly implying that God goofed up when he chose to make us all different. Billy Graham said, racial or ethnic prejudice is a sin in the eyes of God, and no Christian should allow his or her heart to be filled with prejudice. You know, friends, that's the simple fact of the matter, that, you know, it's a heart issue. And as followers of Jesus, we can't be like that. I tell you, one of the things that just was one of the times, or first times that God spoke to me, and I'm not saying it's an audible voice, but when I was a assistant basketball coach at Western Kentucky University back in the 1990s, we had a young man named Darius Hall. He was from Detroit, Michigan. He was an African-American gentle young man, and just had a great heart, great smile, good personality. And I can remember I was, part of my responsibilities was helping monitor our study hall of our players. And so after I would check and make sure they were getting their work done, then their homework and things and projects, then I often would read my Bible. And one day I was reading about King Darius in the Bible, and I went over to Darius and showed him that in the Bible. He's like, really, coach, I'm named after a king? I said, yes, you are. He said, so I need to start having my teammates and friends call me King Darius now. And I just started laughing. But I said, well, you can. You're named after a king. And it was just great to see his eyes open and his heart just like, wow, I'm named after a king in the Bible. And yet one day in practice, he got cut. And he came running over to me, coach, and he said, coach, I got cut. And I'll never forget this blood spurting out of his arm. And he was very dark-skinned, and yet that blood was so just bright red. And I just felt like God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you know, spoke to me and just said, you know, that same blood that I shed for you is the same blood that I shared for Darius and anybody of any skin color. And friend, I didn't consider myself prejudiced, but it was just one of those moments that God just said, I want to make sure if there's anything prejudiced in your mind or heart, that you know the same blood that Jesus shed on the cross, I shed for Darius and every other person that's of a different skin color than you. And it made me think back to that song we sang when I was a kid at church, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And so, friends, I want to encourage you today to maybe do some time with God and make sure that there's not any prejudice in your heart or mind. And I want to remind you, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. So, friends, we need to remind ourselves of that this week, that we're all created in the image of God. Let's go back and look at verse 47 for a second in John chapter 1. As they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. Well, friends, back then, over 2,000 years ago, unfortunately, a lot of the Israelites of Jesus' day were not real because they were hypocrites. They were spiritual phonies. And I got to encourage you today. I talked about this in yesterday's program, but don't be a Sunday morning Christian. I want to encourage you, just don't be somebody on Sunday morning that tries to honor God, carry your Bible. But I really, really want to encourage you to be a follower of Jesus 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. and run things through the filter of like those old bracelets used to be. I think it was back in the 90s, WWJD. What would Jesus do? It doesn't mean that we don't speak the truth in love sometimes, friends, but we just need to sometimes die to our flesh. And may we be like John chapter 3, verse 30, that Jesus must increase and I must decrease. I recently had to model that. Had bought several movie tickets to that movie Ordinary Angels that was released back on February 23rd and got those a week or so before that and was trying to get a big group of people to go. And I bought like 32 tickets for the church where I'm at, Gardenside Christian Church. And didn't count them, but my receipt did have 32 tickets that I paid for. Well, when I got back and I was working with a precious lady at her church named Ann, and she came back to me an hour or two later and said, "Hey, did you know that you're short 5 tickets?" I'm like, "What?" And I checked on the screen at the movie theater. I bought them in person there, and the person that worked there was helping me, and she said, "These are the rows that you want in the seats." I said, "Yes, I want those 3 rows there." So they were all X'd out. So I know that I bought the tickets, but for some reason I didn't get those 5 tickets. So I had to go back to the movie theater the next day and just share what happened. At first, you know, I could tell the movie theater manager was a little skeptical, and I get it. You know, yeah, right. You know, you bought these tickets, but you've all of a sudden lost 5. And, you know, at first he just kind of looked at me, and then I said, "Well, I've left my phone in my car, but I took a picture. I can show you the date on it, that Friday when I bought that." And, you know, the screen was marked out. So I stayed calm because I a little bit felt like he was questioning my integrity. But at the same time, I've been a business owner and been in management, and I understand you've got rules you've got to follow. But I handled it calmly. I just exhaled and, you know, breathe. If you've heard me say, I hope it's here. Sometimes you feel your blood pressure getting up. You just need to breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. And I wasn't doing it as bluntly as I did, you know, right now. But I knew I just needed to stay calm and honor God. I knew I was telling the truth. So while the manager was kind of processing, looking at some things on his computer screen, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll trust that you've got those tickets, and I'll give you, quote, 5, like, tickets, have them here available if you get here." And he said, "Give me one of your business cards," and I gave him that. He said, "I'll let him know I'm not going to be here when you go to see that movie, but I've got 5 seats here in this row reserved just in case somehow there is a problem with those tickets." Friends, a lot of times I don't get it right, but I'm thankful, and this time I kept my calm. I didn't get frustrated, though. I kind of felt like my integrity was questioned. And friends, we just have to really lean into Jesus on times like that. And a lot of times I don't get it right, but I'm thankful that I did. And part of it's because I was putting this message together, and I love that it would just be a chance to model Jesus. And remind me of 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" I also want to remind you, friends, that Jesus said, "What comes out of your mouth comes from the heart." And that's one of the things I'm trying to encourage you today and challenge you as a follower of Jesus. Let your words be words that bring life and are light to one another, and not death and darkness, friends, because the Bible tells us the power of life and death is in the tongue. So be kind to yourself with your own words, and also with the words that you speak about others and to others. Fortunately, out of time. Hope you've been blessed by this program. If you have, share it with somebody else. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.